On the screen, you see again the map of the area that we are discussing from Revelation chapter 18, and we encourage you to open your Bibles to that chapter. Chapter 18 of Revelation. If you have been with us in our study for the past month, we looked first of all in chapter 17, and we saw there that God was judging religious Babylon, the religious systems of the world that came out of Babel and Nimrod and his wife Semiramis and their son, which she said was miraculously born. And that gave credence to what has been known as the mother-daughter religions of the world. We know that there are various names for her worship, from Jezebel to Venus to Isis to Artemis. There are a few others that I don't remember at the moment, but all of the religions of that sort that are around the Mediterranean all come out of this Tower of Babel religion, the cults of the world. And God is going to destroy that. And it is going to give way to Islam as it is controlled by anti-God and his henchman, Antichrist, the religious leader. All that takes place in chapter 17. Then we came to chapter 18 last week. And we look here and we see that chapter 18 is talking about Mystery Babylon again. Talking about Babylon. But now talking about a city in particular, in an area that is called Babylon. And on a map, you will notice that Babylon was at the northern part of that great huge peninsula that is between the Great Red Sea and the Persian Gulf. Last week I explained to you that the Red Sea is much more than those little fingers that stick up there on either side of the Sinai Peninsula. But rather, it's a very large body of water. I also talked to you last week about Mecca, and I was able to get a bigger picture of Mecca, and this is merely the center of Mecca's worship. This is the Arabians that come once a year and have a thing called a Hajj around the Kaaba. The Kaaba is that big black cube, and you will see the people all around it. I'll show you another picture later on of the people swirling around it, because they go around it seven times. Does that ring a bell with you? But the only thing is the cube does not self-destruct. And in the corner of the cube, as you'll see in a later picture, there is actually a big black meteorite embedded in a collar of silver in one corner of that black box, that black cube. But I wanted you to see that as we go on this morning. So here in chapter 18, we have come down to verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." What does God have against the Arabian world? What does God have against Arabia, today called Saudi Arabia? In the Bible, it's called just Arabia, and it covers a larger area. It's also called Babylon. And Babylon in the Bible covers a larger area than what Iraq does today. And so when God is talking about Arabia in the Word of God, it's talking about that whole peninsula and up into what today is parts of Iraq. Now, God calls his people out of there. When are his people going to be there? Well, do you remember what we learned in chapter 7? That there will be people out of every tongue and tribe and nation saved during the tribulation period. During the tribulation period, there will be a great, unnumberable multitude of people that will be born again. They are not the church. The church has already been taken away. And so they will be part of the Old Testament saints. Why? Because the tribulation is the 70th week of Daniel's 70-week prophecy. The other 69 weeks deal particularly with Israel. And so the 70th week deals particularly with Israel. Now, it affects the whole world. What goes on in the tribulation is going to affect the whole world. But its focus is to bring Israel to her knees before God. Now, the people of the world try to bring Israel to her knees militarily. They've tried to destroy her. And have you ever tried to sink a big boat with a pea shooter? You know, a pea shooter, a straw that you shoot little hard peas through? Well, that's what Gaza's doing right now over there to Israel. Gaza's just a little country. It did not used to exist. It was carved out by the UN and given to the Palestinians. Now, who are the real Palestinians? They are the leftovers from Philistia. The name's similar. Palestine, Philistia. The Palestinians are a bunch of renegades, but some of them are actually blood descendants from the Philistines. And God has something to say about Philistia in the latter days. Well, there's no country named Philistia, but there is a country by the name of Gaza, which is a collection of all these rebels that hate Israel. And so here's this little country and this little city of Gaza City, and they are sitting there shooting rockets into Israel all over the place. Well, you know, Israel takes just so much of that, and they are still living under Old Testament, which said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So they modified it, a rocket for a rocket. And so Israel says enough of this nonsense, and they start lobbing their rockets into Gaza and Gaza City. Well, of course, the news people only tell you that women and children get injured in these things or get killed in this situation. They don't tell you about the fact of why Israel is doing that and what Israel is aiming at. And Israel's pretty accurate with their rockets. In fact, they are so accurate with their surface-to-air missiles that they have been destroying the rockets that Gaza's been lobbing at them before they hit the ground. And so until this week, hardly any Israelite, any Jew, has been injured. But now this week, there's been a few that have been killed. But there have been hundreds now that have suffered death in Gaza because of what Israel is doing to get into there and to destroy the network of tunnels that they have tunneled underneath the walls so they can come over and they can sabotage Israel. Now that's today, but it's out of this book right here. It's out of this book. So that's why God says, come out of there and separate from Israel. Separate from Israel. And I went too far, didn't I? All right. Let's behave. All right. We are to separate from Israel. Now, there's a scripture I put up there from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 17 and 18, you may say, what in the world does a New Testament verse have to do with this? Well, very much so. God said, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. So God has called his people out. God calls you and I out of the world. We are not to be a part of the world. Now, we live in the world, but we're not to join them. We're not to participate in their worldly activities. Now you say, well, I'm tempted. Yes, of course, we're all tempted to sin every day. The temptation is not the sin, folks. It's the giving into it. It's the acting it out. It's the participation. It's the mulling it over in our mind that's the sin. And so it says in verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That has to do with partnerships and business. That has to do with marriage, very much so. But how about dating unsaved people? You say, well, I'm dating them, but I'm not going to marry them. Well, dating usually leads to marriage or breakup, one or the other, and sometimes both. And so God says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what concord or accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. That's Isaiah 53 and verse 11, quoted here in the New Testament. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. And that's from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 and 9. So the Apostle Paul knew the Old Testament very well, didn't he? And he knew when to quote it in relationship to this. Back to our study, you will see that God says there in verse 4 and 5, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out from her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive of her plagues, for her sins have reached heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Now, what is God going to do? There's a picture that I mentioned before. You'll see this stone in the corner of the Kaaba that is spelled K-A-A-B-A, Kaaba. And in the corner of the Kaaba is a black meteorite that is said originally to be Venus falling from heaven. And now it's a stone in the possession of the Arabians. And the Arabians have embedded it on the corner of their big black block called the Kaaba. And it's called the Kaaba stone. It's surrounded by silver. You can see it there. Now the picture in the lower corner are people kneeling. They are people kneeling, all facing toward that stone. And then the picture in the upper left-hand corner is a time-taken photography, and it shows the milling of the people around in a circle, around in a circle. And they go round and around and around this thing. And every Muslim is to make a pilgrimage there at least once in their lifetime to that during Ramadan. Now, God says, I have something against you. Now, Mary, remember from our first picture, you will remember that this sets in what the Bible calls a desert. Now, you say, well, it looks, and I have another picture, it looks to me like it's in the mountains, it's in the wilderness. The word desert in the Bible is not talking about sand dunes. It's talking about wilderness. And when you and I say wilderness, we think of trees, we think of forests, we think of the woods. But when God is talking about wilderness there, all it is rocky hills, gullies, tunnels, caves. And that is where Mecca is. It's on the eastern seacoast of the Red Sea, or the eastern course of the Red Sea. And it's the center of all of Islamic worship. And God is going to do something really terrible to it. And we'll see that again in just a moment. In verse 6 and 8, render to her just as he rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed for her double. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she said in her heart, I sit as a queen. I am no widow, and I will not see sorrow. Therefore her plague shall come in one day. And then later on it says it will come in 1 hour. Now if you were going to wipe out that whole area and that city of Mecca, you can see the map there. If you were to wipe out Mecca and all of Saudi Arabia in 1 hour, how would you do it? Well, God says, he explains what sounds like he's going to have a bomb dropped on it. Look with me at chapter 34 of Isaiah. Don't lose your place here. We're coming right back. But Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 8. you want to study this in depth, and I'm just hitting high spots, you understand that. But in Isaiah 34 and verse 8, God says, "For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause or on behalf of Zion." We know Zion to be the city of Jerusalem. Verse 9, "Its streams shall be turned into pitch, its dust into brimstone. Its land shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched by night or by day. Its smoke shall ascend forever. From generation to generation it shall lay waste. No one shall pass through it forever and ever. But the pelican and the porcupine shall possess it. The owl and the raven shall dwell in it also. And he shall stretch over it the line of confusion and stones of emptiness. And they shall call its nobles to be a kingdom, but none shall be there, and all its princes shall be nothing." There's only one thing I can think of that God can do that would bring that much destruction to that whole area in general, and Mecca in particular, and that is a what? A bomb. Because what God is describing here is the effects of a bomb being dropped on some area, and it changes the topography, it wipes out every living thing, and in this case, where you have oil and tar everywhere already, it sets it on fire and it burns forever and ever, God says. And I suspect that it may even be burning through the great kingdom age as a reminder to the people, you do not rebel against God and get away with it. Now notice the lament. The people lament. Now who's going to lament? Well, how about the people who get the oil, who buy their oil from Arabia? And they have one-fifth of the world's oil reserves. And they control through OPEC, which is their controlling body, they control the price of oil all over the world. Now, you and I complain about the price of gasoline at the pump, and justifiably so. We need to understand that a great portion of the price that we pay at the pump are taxes. They are federal, state, and local taxes that are leveled on each gallon of gas that you and I pump. But you need also to understand the United States is a small user of Arabian oil. That other countries, Europe, where do they get their oil from? A lot of it comes from there. Other of it comes from Russia. Where does China get its oil? They're not drilling oil over there very much. They're buying it on the world markets. They have a whole lot more people to drive vehicles and trucks and things than we do. And so we need to understand that this is going to affect nations all over the world. It is probably not the only trade, but it's the major trade. It has made Arabia incredibly wealthy. They have stacks and stacks of gold. They have businesses that have millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of jewelry for sale at any given moment. I looked at some pictures. You can go on Google and Google Arabia gold. And you will be just absolutely blown away by the amount of gold that they have over there and the things they make out of gold, including Mercedes-Benz. You say, I can't even afford a regular Mercedes, let alone one made out of gold. But they can, because they get it from us. They're selling us their oil, and we're making them rich. And God says that the nations of the earth are going to weep and lament over her. Look at verses 9 and 10. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the what? Smoke of her burning. God is going to destroy the Arabian Peninsula with fire and set it a-burning because of its gold, because of its oil and its tar. standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment comes." God says it's all going to happen to them in a day. And then he says, particularly, this city is going to be destroyed in 1 hour. Last week I suggested to you that there's some interesting statements that are made over in Joel. And if you can keep your finger here in Revelation and go find Joel. Joel is right after Daniel. And if you had the right Bible, it would be page 1010. But you probably don't have my Bible, so. "For in those days, and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them on account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land, and they have cast lots for my people, have given a boy in exchange for a harlot, and sold a girl for a drink of wine." And that kind of wickedness goes on in Arabia, by the way, where children are sold on slave markets and for the sex trade. God has a lot to say for each country. But wherever you see Edom or Babylon, understand what we're talking about. You say, "Well, where's Edom?" Well, Edom's right up there. The northeast or northwest corner of Arabia is the area of Edom. But at one time, Edom was here, all over that peninsula. Now you say, "Well, who's Edom?" Well, Edom comes from the name Red, which was the nickname of who? Esau, the other brother. From Jacob came Israel, and from Esau came the Arabs. There are other people of interest in the Bible that are also in that area. And you might remember the name of Ishmael. And his descendants are all mixed through this area as well. Back over to chapter 18. "The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn." First of all, the leaders of the kingdoms. In other words, the presidents and the kings. But then it says, "The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise anymore." And then it goes on to list about 30 different categories of commerce, from verses 11 all the way down to verse 13. But I'm not going to go there just quite at that moment. I want to take you back to something. I dropped a bomb on you last Sunday, and I just want to clarify it just a touch. And that comes from Zechariah chapter 5. Zechariah chapter 5. Now, when I say I dropped a bomb on you, I said that deliberately, because that's what is definitely described here in a very unusual way. Zechariah is just before Malachi just before the New Testament. Zechariah chapter 5. "Then I turned and raised my eyes, and I saw a flying scroll. And he said to me, 'What do you see?' And I answered and said, 'I see a flying scroll.'" Now, what he's talking about is tubular. He's talking about, "I see a flying tube." And how big is the tube? Well, depending on what a cubit is, if a cubit's a foot and a half, then we're saying that this tube is 30 feet long and 15 foot wide. That sounds like the warhead from a large rocket. The bomb, if you please, of a large rocket. "Then he said to me, 'This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to what is on the side of the scroll, and every perjurer or liar shall be expelled according to what is on that side.'" And then when you come down to the end of that chapter, there's an interesting statement in verse 11. "And he said to me to build a house for it in the land of Shinar, When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base. And that's an interesting thing that God mentions that. And what's in the basket? A lead disc. Lead, L-E-A-D. They just outlawed, or just put out of business, the last lead smelting factory in the United States. That means that all lead has to be purchased across the ocean. And that means our government can control lead coming in. And there's obviously a real push for our government to be able to disarm us by making it impossible to buy the shells and the bullets for our weaponry. There's a plan afoot to disarm us so that they can take us over like they did Russia many years ago and they did China many years ago. Keep these things in mind as you listen to your news. If you're not a news person, shame on you. You really ought to know what's going on. If you're not interested in local news, fine. But you need to know what goes on in the world. And you need to be, the Bible says, as wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. And how are you going to be wise if you don't know what's going on around you? And God complimented, you remember, Issachar, the nation, the tribe of Issachar, because they were men of understanding of the times and the seasons. Well, we need to be people that are aware of the times and the seasons. The 30 categories of commerce are going to be destroyed. Shipping trade is going to be affected. Remember I said that this is huge? It's also these two areas right here are the main shipping areas to ship out the product of the Arabians to the rest of the world. When you go from here, you go over here to India, you go down towards Australia, way down here, you go over here, you're in Africa, and when you go down around Africa, you can head over to North America and South America, which would be over here, if you had a big enough map. But I need to move on. God says rejoice. Rejoice. Now, who's going to rejoice and where are we going to be when we rejoice? The answer is this. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be on our honeymoon. At least if I understand correctly, we're on our honeymoon the 7 years that the earth is on trial and God is meting out judgment on the nations of this earth. You and I are going to be with our Lord and our Savior. And the next time we look at the book of the Revelation, we're going to be looking at chapter 19, and we're going to see the end of the tribulation, and we're going to see the introduction of the church with Jesus. I'm going to read the last few verses from 20 to 24 as we close. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy angels and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea and said, thus, or in this manner, with violence the great city Babylon shall be brought down, thrown down, and shall not be found anymore. Let me ask you a question. Maybe girls have never done this, but us guys have always done this when we were kids. And that was to pick up the biggest stone we could hold and drop it off from some high point into the water and watch it hit and make this huge mushroom of water. And that's the picture that God is using. That's a picture of a bomb going off. And God says, it's just like when this angel drops this huge stone into the water and it goes kaplunk and it sprays up a great huge plume. God says, that's what's going to happen to Babylon. I'm going to drop a bomb on her. Now, it may be a spiritual bomb, or I mean a heaven bomb, but I'd sooner think it's going to be a bomb that comes out of, the Bible says it's coming out of Shinar, and Shinar is that area between Iraq and Iran right now, the area of the Mesopotamia Valley, where the Tigris and Euphrates rivers are, out of there. And we already know that Iran is working on a nuclear bomb. And we know that she wants to use it on Israel, but maybe she'll get to use it on Saudi Arabia. You say, well, aren't they all Muslim? Yes, they are. But do they agree with each other? No, they don't. They hate Arabia because she has given her soul to the wealth of the Western world. And they think that she's a harlot. And they call her a harlot. And the Bible says they're going to destroy the harlot for him. And it says the sound of the harpist and the flutist and the trumpet shall never be heard anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in her evermore. And the sound of the millstone shall not be heard in her anymore. And the light of the lamp shall not shine in her anymore. And the voice of a bridegroom and a bride shall not be heard in her anymore. For the merchants were the great men of the earth, for by their sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and of all who were slain on earth. God has something against Arabia. And God is going to lower the boom. Now, what about you? Are you ready to meet the Lord? We sang about heaven twice this morning. We sang how great God is and how God's provided for us. And we sang a song of thanksgiving. But do you personally know Jesus Christ? And I ask that often. Why? Because every once in a while we find out that a so-called Christian was never saved. And when they got saved, their life was totally changed. And so we sing in